Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Hosea, and we're in chapter 14. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
So I need to get my heart right so that I have this concept before me that I can render unto God the calves of my lips. And the idea is what we see over in the book of Hebrews, where the Bible tells us, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. My point is that there's a buoyancy in the unbridled heart. It's a natural buoyancy. You just look at kids. My little grandson, he's like a truck. He runs and he bolts and he darts to this side, he kind of turns. Now listen, that's the natural state of the human heart, and if you're not there right now at all, I mean, I'm not saying it's exhausting. We get older, right? But you do have to have some buoyancy. God says, we will mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, and as older people, walk and not faint. You're going to continue to move. And there's going to be a song in the undercurrent. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart. Now, if you're singing some song that's not sanctified, that's fine periodically. I call those rice cakes. But mainly, your theme of your songs ought to be Jesus. Your theme ought to be Jesus. I don't know what your favorite song is, but you ought to have one, and it usually changes. But, man, I'll tell you what, I've had this song on my mind, you know, for weeks. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's just always there. I'm like, Lord, I need to sleep. And I'm singing this song. So then yesterday I came across a video of a bunch of Marines in a church about this size. And they're all up in front. They couldn't stay in the back. They had to get up and move up and put their arms around each other. And they're singing, bless the Lord. Oh my soul. What do we say? Bless the Lord. It's like a Marine chant. And it brought goosebumps and tears. Because not only had the Lord been speaking that song over me, but then He brought that into my view. That's a beautiful song. It's on my YouTube page if you want to see it. Somebody's recording it on their phone. The Lord would have you have buoyancy. You can't have peace. That's my point. Render. It means have a covenant of peace. How are you peaceful in each other's arms at home? How are you peaceful in the Lord's arms? Because this chastening we're experiencing right now, where all the props are being pulled back, they're not pulled fully away. You can still go to the store. You can still shop. But it's a little icky now, a little icky. And what I'm saying is you're still not sure whether you can touch the counter. I love it when they give me a pen. Here, take this pen and sign right there. I'm like, really? You got a mask on, you got a shield on, a face shield, man, you're handing me a... Wait a minute. I know many people have to work and they have to wear these things when they don't need to necessarily. May I just qualify this? I am not against masks. If people are sick and vulnerable, wear a mask. I really believe people who are more vulnerable, wear a mask. I get that. I mean, if you've got certain conditions, that's fine. But usually the people who are sick stay home. Okay? So we're living in a day, right? I want you to see this. Verse 2, take with you words. Go to Him with words. Say it out loud. Just like that guy got the video, showed us what they were doing in the abortion clinics. Say it out loud. Dissect it on the table. Here's why I am the way I am. Here's what I'm saying out loud in my mind. Here's my take on why I can do this. Because when you start saying it out loud, it's like anything else. It might sound a little stupid. Because if you put yourself on the other side of the table and say it to yourself, if anybody else was saying that to you, you wouldn't buy it. But because it's you, perhaps you are allowing yourself to buy it. He says in verse 3, he says, Asher shall not save us. That's Assyria. Everything about Assyria and Babylon speaks of the Far East, you know, the eastern wind coming over. It's super hot. It's all bad. All the bad doctrine came from the East. You know, Eastern religions, we all hear about them. You know, meditation and yoga and centering yourself. And our kids are being taught all this stuff. They're not being taught the Lord's Prayer, and they're not being taught the Ten Commandments, but they're being taught to center themselves, and they're being taught to clear their minds, and they're being taught all this stuff. And that's the stuff we can talk about in public. A lot of stuff we can't talk about that they're being taught about. If you've got kids, you better be paying attention, because they're teaching them bad stuff, And he says, Asher can't save us. He says, we won't ride upon horses. We're not going to let the strength of arms save us. And he says, yea, neither will we say any more the work of our hands. Ye are our gods. For in the Father, in thee, Lord, the fatherless find mercy. Now, the way this is written, there's actually three things here that he's actually punctuating. He's talking about Asher, Assyria, which is foreign camaraderie and, you know, uniting and covenants, you know, like the world wants to go global. He says, we're not going global. We're not going to do that. He said, this is Israel. God's our God. We don't need anybody else. We'll be friendly. We'll be nice, but we don't need them. We're not going to call on them when things get hard. We're going to call to God. The second thing he says is horses. Horses were vehicles of strength. And so what we would have to say to update this for you and me is, horses aren't our thing, but vehicles like guns. My guns are my strength. We won't say we're going to trust in guns. I'm not saying don't have one. Jesus said go get a sword when he left. You can defend yourself. But I'm talking about the whole let's go into the people's face thing. No, no, no. We're not going to be offensive with guns. You may have to defend your home, but that's another thing. But here, I'm saying to you that the horse was an implement of, you know, fearlessness to run into battle. What about electricity? A lot of us think that we've got this going on because we've got electricity. Well, the power grid could go out, you're down to nothing. Yeah, this is kind of slowly diminishing. You know, the high tide's coming in. Electricity. What if you can't stay in your house because there's a whole riot gang out front? You can't keep your electricity. Another thing you could liken it to is locks on your doors. You know, locks are for honest people, they tell me. And what about your smarts? Oh, I'm smart. I can fix anything. I can prepare anything. My plans. I've got plans. Eisenhower said plans are useless, but planning is indispensable, so it's good to plan. I'm not going to take it away from you, but they're useless. In battle, they become useless. The moment you try to implement them, one thing goes sideways, and then it's like everything's like chaos. Plans are useless, but they are indispensable. I agree with that. Another man said the truth is the first casualty of war. We're in war. The war is on truth. Truth's gone. Boys aren't boys anymore. You got to wait. I heard a guy said, you know, you shouldn't have a reveal party. That's what it was. You shouldn't have a reveal party because you don't know if it's a boy or a girl. You got to wait till they tell you what they are when they get old enough. So, works of our hands. What's that? Well, that could be electronics. I don't need a preacher. I got a phone. I can look up what this verse means. Yeah, when you ask Google what this thing means, they're going to tell you, well, we don't know if it's really legit. Maybe it's this. And they'll give you so many, and they'll bury the real answer from conservatives who understand to take the scripture at its face value, and they'll put it on the 15th page. You need real flesh and bone people to guide you. That's why the Bible says God gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, maturing of the saints. You need people you can look at and say, well, that's a pattern I think I can emulate. Works of our hands. What about this? Public image. This is social media day, right? Oh, my public image is everything. That's the work of my hands. People think I'm great, yet you're dying inside. You're lonely. You have 5,000 friends, but nobody knows you're crying tonight. The world we're living in has created an illusion around us, and we've begun to be more and more isolated as a result. Psalm 39, verse 6 says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, knoweth not who shall gather them. Deuteronomy 11:16 says, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You see, all of these other things, all of these other things are things we trust in. We trust in globalism, going with the flow. We trust in horses and strength of our hands, strength of our own arms, strength of our own wits. We trust in works. I want you to see what he says then, an overview in verse 3. It says, Asher shall not save us. The word save is there. But in verse 3 at the end, it says, only in you the fatherless find mercy. So what is it you really need? Do you need to be saved from an economic collapse? Do you need to be saved from COVID-19? No, what you need to be saved from is the fear of death. Because all through the history of your life on earth, men who do not know Jesus are afraid of death. Some people live in fear of death all their lifetime, especially lost people. You can't really be ready to live till you're ready to die. You find Jesus, he'll bring mercy, all of your sins will be gone, you'll have a covenant of peace, all's going to be good. God's got me. I don't mind whether I live or I die. I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, but to stay here, abide with you, that's more necessary. So I'm confident I'll be staying here, Paul said. You see, the disposition of a believer's relationship to death is so profound, it has marked history. We have a Colosseum that still stands only because God makes it. It could put an earthquake and knock it down, but it's still there to remind us that a lot of people laid down their lives in the Colosseum. They were killed for their faith. And they gladly went to their deaths. Many of them singing hymns as the fire was burning under them. Mothers and daughters holding hands on stakes, singing songs of heaven. That's what life is about. It's a train wreck, everybody's a casualty, and Jesus is the only one who can get us through this. He's the only one. Nobody else rose from the dead. Nobody else defines time. 2020. This is AD and the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. It's all about Jesus, BC, before Christ. I know they want to change it, but that's on them. I'm going with what works, and that works. Nothing else. There is no other plumb line. There is no other place to start. Jesus is where everything starts. Verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. This is what God's going to do. If we will come to God and say, God, here's my heart, here's my perversity, here's my twisting, and you think you can't live without this thing, you're just sitting there idling, I can't let that go, I can't let that go. God says, listen, when they come to me, I'll heal their backsliding. I'll heal it. What's that mean, heal your backsliding? How do you heal backsliding? Because part of the wound of backsliding is the stronghold that needs to be uprooted, okay? And when he uproots it, and when you cooperate with him, and you realize you're dead to sin, and you're free from sin, that's a positional reality that's yours today, tomorrow, and on, and on, and on. If you're a child of God, those things are true. Then you realize that God will heal you. Because the healing is when you get your song back, and get your joy back, and you get your childlike disposition back. You know, I love seeing older couples shuffling, holding hands. Isn't that the most cute thing in the world? There's still a childlike enthusiasm about being with your girl. Childlike enthusiasm about being with your beau. I'm telling you, these are things that make life tolerable. People who get all dissatisfied in their marriages are people who've checked out somewhere before that. Because the marriage is what God gave us to keep us sane, not to make us go insane. But if we don't stay in our lane and do it God's way, it could be anybody's guess how this thing's going to unfold. Because we set it all into a staggering. We've fallen. We've staggered. He says, I'll heal their backsliding, verse 4. I will love them freely. Isn't that good? Meaning audaciously, meaning fully, meaning you'll sense His presence. And you'll know it's Him. When He says things like, you'll hear a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Where'd that come from? I will guide you with my eye. How can you guide you with his eye if you don't see him? See, many of us think that's a little subjective. God's word says it, man. I didn't make this up. The Bible says, I will lead them beside the still waters. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But I don't know that God. Well, you need to get to know him, because he's an amazing God. And he is the God who is there. In fact, his name, when he said, I am who I am, what Yahweh means, the existent one. I am. That's what you need to know. I am. If you don't see me, it's not because I'm not declaring. Look at the heavens. They declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Every time you say, look at that beautiful sky, that's God. When you get into Job, and Job is like coming to knees knocking because God's coming across the terrain and he sees this whirlwind coming because God was in the whirlwind. And he says, talk now. He says, no, I've seen you with my own eyes. And I repent with dust and ashes. You speak, God. And God says, where were you when I feed the goats up in the mountains that nobody even sees? I am there. I'm there. What would you expect God to say when he rolls up his sleeves and says, let's have a conversation about what's true? I exist. Everywhere in me, you live, move, have your being. I am the one that upholds all things by the word of my power. I'm there. And listen, if you're my child, I am for you.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.